Enzo did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across London as you listen. This is their story. In Bermondsey and Old Southwark, physics graduates who want to teach cannot access the training places they need, while secondary schools struggle with empty laboratories and teacher shortages. The Department for Education reduced training bursaries for shortage subjects just as schools face their worst recruitment crisis in decades.
My parents always said I had my head in the clouds, but in a good way. Growing up above their cafe near London Bridge, I'd spend hours watching the trains cross the Thames and wondering about the physics of it all. The forces, the momentum, the engineering that kept tons of metal suspended over water. When I finished my physics degree at King's College London and worked as a lab technician, I thought I'd found my place. But it was my sister who changed everything. Sophia struggled with maths throughout secondary school until she met Miss Patterson in year 10. Miss Patterson didn't just teach equations. She showed Sophia how numbers connected to everything around her, from the cafe's coffee machine pressure to the way sound bounced off the Victorian railway arches near our house. Sophia went from barely passing to studying engineering at university. Watching that transformation, I knew what I wanted to do with my physics knowledge. I wanted to be the teacher who turned the lights on for students the way Miss Patterson had for Sophia. In early 2023, I applied for the School Direct Physics Training Program through King's College London. I'd researched thoroughly. Physics teachers were in critical shortage across London. Schools were crying out for qualified staff, and my undergraduate grades were strong. I sailed through the initial assessments, and the interview panel seemed genuinely excited about my application. Then I got the call from the program coordinator, Dr. Sarah Williams. "Enzo, I'm really sorry," she said. "You scored in our top tier, but we've had to reduce our physics places from 25 to 8 this year. HM Treasury has cut the teacher training bursaries for shortage subjects in London. There is no funding to support the full cohort." "I was waitlisted," she explained. "But the chances of a place opening up were minimal. I accepted this. It sounded reasonable. The government had to make tough choices about spending," I thought. Surely they knew what they were doing. I tried Teach First next. Their reputation for placing graduates in challenging schools appealed to me. I wanted to work where I could make the biggest difference. The recruitment officer, James Mitchell, was apologetic but firm. "Our physics cohort is massively oversubscribed this year," he told me over the phone. "Ironically, it's because the government has slashed funding for training in the very subjects that schools desperately need. We simply cannot afford to run the program at the scale the applications demand." The same phrase again. No funding. Cannot afford. I was starting to hear it everywhere. My third attempt was the Institute of Education at UCL. Professor Helen Chen, the admissions officer, was kind but direct. "We can only offer 6 physics PGCE places this year, instead of our usual 15, she explained during our meeting in Bloomsbury. "The Department for Education has set national recruitment targets that completely ignore London's acute physics teacher shortage. The budget has been cut based on average national demand, not regional need." I walked home along the South Bank that day feeling frustrated but still accepting the logic. There wasn't enough money. The government had to prioritize. These things happened. But then I walked past my old secondary school in Rotherhithe the following week, just killing time before meeting a friend. Something made me stop and look through the railings at the science block. 3 physics laboratories sat completely empty in the middle of a Tuesday afternoon. Not being renovated, not being used for storage, just empty, with desks arranged as if waiting for students who never came. I found myself knocking on the main office door. The head teacher, Mr. David Thompson, recognized me from my time there and invited me in for tea. "We've been trying to recruit physics teachers for 2 years, he said, shaking his head. "Those labs you saw, we can't staff them. I've got one physics teacher covering what should be 3 people's workload." He mentioned that the neighbouring school in Bermondsey had mothballed an entire physics lab due to teacher shortages. "There are several physics graduates from around here working in completely unrelated jobs," he added, "because they can't get onto training courses." It's mad, really. The students are there, the buildings are there, the graduates who want to teach are there. That night, I couldn't stop thinking about what Mr. Thompson had said. I started adding it up in my head. Empty classrooms. Physics graduates working in call centers or retail because they couldn't access teacher training. Schools begging for qualified teachers. Students missing out on proper physics education because there was nobody to teach them. If the people existed and the buildings existed and the need existed, what exactly was it that there was no money for? I began to wonder whether the excuse I'd accepted so readily was actually an excuse at all. The government that issues the pound sterling, that literally creates the currency, was telling me it could not find enough pounds to train the people who were standing right there, ready to learn how to teach. The same government that had somehow found billions for bank bailouts and corporate tax cuts. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were. All of them. I'm still in Bermondsey, still working as a lab technician, still watching those empty classrooms fill up with dust instead of students. But I understand something now that I didn't understand when I started this journey. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. When Dr. Williams told me there is no funding, when James Mitchell said they cannot afford to run the program, when Professor Chen explained the budget has been cut, they were all describing political decisions made by people in Whitehall who had alternatives. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins chose not to spend them into the training programs that would connect willing graduates to desperate schools. It's the same logic as my parents saying they can't afford to expand the cafe, except my parents don't issue their own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I see this pattern everywhere now, not just in teacher training, but in every sector where real people with real skills are kept apart from real needs by someone in Westminster claiming the cupboard is bare. It's not just my story, it's the story of every constituency where the resources exist, the people exist, and the only thing missing is the political will to connect them.
What Enzo experienced has a name: cherry picking. This technique works like a tobacco company citing the one study that failed to link smoking to cancer while ignoring thousands that proved the connection. They select rare examples where government spending produced waste or poor outcomes to justify never investing, while systematically ignoring the overwhelming evidence of what happens when government does fund training programs properly. In Enzo's case, every official he spoke to treated teacher training cuts as inevitable because somewhere, at some time, a training program had not delivered perfect results. They cherry-picked these isolated cases to justify maintaining a policy that left physics graduates unemployed, schools understaffed, and students without qualified teachers. The technique relies on the false belief that government budgets work like household budgets, that the UK must find pounds before it spends them. But the UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to discover pounds in a treasury vault before training teachers. The real constraint is resources: qualified graduates who want to teach, schools that need teachers, training facilities that can deliver programs. Countries that issue their own currency have never defaulted due to domestic spending. Greece used the euro. It did not control its own currency. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Bermondsey and Old Southwark ranks 168 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation. English Indices of Deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 990 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Total grants received were £55.6 million, £360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.